Good morning. Good to be in the house of the Lord again. Been blessed by the service thus far. Trust the Lord has more for us. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you just now. We thank you for being God. Thank you that we can come to you. Thank you for what we have heard already. Thank you for your word. Help us to love it with all of our heart, to dig into it and find what you have there for us. May that be our portion here this morning as we look into your word again. So Lord, I just pray that your name would be lifted up. Pray that you would speak to us through your word. Help me to speak those things which would be your words and not my own. Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I'd like to give us a little challenge. To start off, I'd like to think about the value of a good name. The value of a good name. It's better to have than riches. A good name is better to be had than wealth. We have a name. Harmony has a name. Right? So, what do people think of when they hear the word harmony? Depends who it is that's speaking, right? But what do people think of? You as an individual, I guess I could pick on somebody, but I don't know if I'm going to do that. But when I think of Raymond, I guess I will. I wasn't sure who to pick on. But we think of Raymond. What do we think of? Something pops into your mind when you think of Raymond, right? And that thing that we have in our minds, even after they're gone, you think of a person. There's something, there's a connection there. Okay? So a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Something that's going to live on. So, here at Harmony, it's good to have a good name. All right, now what's another name that we carry to be a Christian? Okay, that's another name. What is encompassed in that name? What do people think of when they think of the word Christian? Next question, what should be one of the highest things we strive for or want to live for as a Christian? Christ-like. To have Christ to focus. And we want to be Christ-like. Okay, that's what Christian is, right? We are to live out Christ's image, character, here upon the earth. What comes to your mind as one of those qualities of Christ?
Perfection.
Holiness.
Lowliness.
Gentle. We're getting closer to where I'm going.
Perfect.
What is the greatest commandment?
Love.
What's the first one? To love God and your neighbor as yourself. So that is where I'm planning to go this morning. We're going to speak on love. Let's turn to Hebrews. Hebrews 10. When I thought of this as a topic for the morning, it's one of those things that I said, this is such a general thing. It's something we all know. It's something that is it necessary? But I found something in here that said, okay, this is where we're going and it's needful. Hebrews 10, let's start reading in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, the thing that gave me courage to bring this message is, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Well, that's the title for this morning, Provoke to Love. That's what I'd like to share on this morning, Provoke to Love. Let's look at this passage just a little bit. Back to verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Hold fast gives a picture of keeping the ship on course. Hold fast. Keep that ship from veering to one side or the other. We heard about some ships this morning. There was an iceberg ahead, but they did not steer away from it, did they? I don't think so. This ship will not sink. But as we are on the ship of life, do we let it veer to the one side or the left? See danger ahead? Are we going to turn away from that? Keep the ship. Hold fast the profession of our faith, that which we speak. Now, the word profession was a compound word. Homo logos. The first part of it, homo, which think of homogenized. Homogenized milk don't separate. Okay? So it's all one. It don't separate. So logos is word. Logos is what we speak. Logos is also the scripture. Homo logos. It won't separate. What we speak, all of us should be speaking the same thing, the profession of our faith. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. We have a faith, we have a hope in our eternal salvation. We are looking forward to that time when we can be together in heaven. The hope is, that's what it's speaking of here. We have a hope. Let's hold on to the profession of our faith, that hope, without wavering. We don't want to be swaying from one side to the other. We want to keep that destination in view. And let us consider one another. That means let's not just be an island by ourselves. Let's consider one another. Let's be observing fully, attentively. Consider one another. Let's consider each other. That's reciprocal. I'm not just looking at you, but you're looking at me as well. So it's reciprocal. Let us consider to do what? To provoke. Now, we tend to think of provoking in a negative way. Somebody was provoking me and I had a wrong response, right? That's what we think of when you think of the word provoke. But today, I'd like to provoke a little bit. Poke at you. That word, spur. Somebody riding a horse might have spurs to provoke his horse to get moving. So, stimulate, to spur on, to urge, to love. We'll have more on that later. Verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. That's one of the ways we provoke each other. Exhort. Speak to each other. Call near. Invite. Encourage. So, provoke to love. Hopefully by the time we're finished here, I've provoked you to love. Let's turn to Mark 12. Mark 12 and verse 28. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any question. So there we have the greatest commandment. What does it say in verse 30? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. How much? With all. How much is all? Just everything. All. With all thy heart. With all thy soul. With all thy mind. With all thy strength. How much is that? I think that's something all of us would say, I think I can improve on that. All. We love Him from the core of our being, our feelings, our thinking, our actions. Everything. And then love our neighbor. And then we say, how much? How much? As thyself. Do we love ourselves? I think we do. And I'm sure we do. I know we do. We take care of ourselves. Maybe there could be some of us need a little balance in that, but I think we know what we're talking about. As we love ourselves, as we take care of ourselves, do we think about others as much as we think about ourselves? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. To provoke to love, how much do we love? How much do we love God? How much do we love His Word? We heard about that this morning. How much do we love each other? The tendency of a fire is to go out. Without feeding a fire, it goes out, right? It needs fuel. So this morning I'd like to help feed that fire. How important is love in our lives? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Name the rest, but what's the first one? Love. Now, the greatest of these, in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, charity. The greatest of these is charity, right? So let's lift that up this morning. Our love for God springs from seeing Him for who He is. Maybe our love for Him wanes a little bit when we don't think about who He is, what He's done for us. We think about His character, His attributes. It affords the highest delight to the sanctified heart. If our heart is in tune with Him, that is one of the greatest things for us, is to realize what He's done since His love to us, and hence our love for Him. Esteem and reverence spring from our hearts, and that fear of offending Him is the result. We don't want to offend Him. Just thinking about the 10 spies, the 10 spies in comparison to the two. They didn't have that. They weren't thinking about God's abilities. They were thinking about their weakness, but didn't think about God and what He could do. Let's turn to John 13. John 13, verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So, when a person comes into harmony, is he going to say, behold how they love one another? I trust that's true of us. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now the word disciples there sticks out to me. Are we being taught by Jesus what it means to love? Are we a disciple of Jesus? Verse 34 says, a new commandment give I unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now you could go different directions with that. As I have loved you, how much did Jesus love us? He was willing to come, was willing to give His life for us. Another thing, as I was looking at this, I noticed the context. What just happened? What's the beginning of the chapter? John 13. A new commandment have I given unto you. This is something that was not normal for the one in charge to stoop down and wash feet. Notice verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. Who was in the circle? Judas was in the circle. But He loved him unto the end. So what did Jesus do? Verse 13, you call me Master and Lord. They were looking to Him as the leader, the Master. And you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. So that's the example Jesus gave of washing one another's feet. Being a servant, being willing to bend down and do the lowly task of washing feet. Verse 15 says, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. A new commandment I have given unto you." Can we read that verse next? This is something different. This is something new. Now, next, I would like to think about what is love. Let's answer the question, what is love? We could get a lot of definitions. I went to Noah Webster 1828 dictionary, and of course, if you're familiar with that, you know he usually has pretty long definitions and lots of them. So I picked some out, some of his thoughts. Love is an affection of the mind, excited by beauty or worth, or pleasing qualities. Kindness, benevolence, esteem. Pleasure derived from the company and kindness of others. So that's a little bit of what I picked out of Noah Webster. I'd also like to think about seven Greek words for love. Now, not all of these come out of the Bible, but I think three of them may be the ones that we're familiar with. So I'd like to look at them and see what we can learn. Some of these we can apply to us in our relationships, as a congregation, to each other and to God. So these seven words. Now the first one is a physical love, and I didn't even write the name of it down, but a physical love. Eros is one that I've heard of, a romantic love. Maybe you could think of Song of Solomon, that would give you a picture of that type of love. Let's go on to the next one. Storge. I think I'm saying that right. But it's a family love. A love of a parent to a child. That is a strong one. Can be from the children to the parents, children to each other. But it's because we're family that we have love. We have something flowing between us. Something that happened here recently. We were on a little trip as a family, went to Washington, D.C. Just back up a little bit. Rebecca and the children had been to Washington, D.C., and they stopped at a restaurant on their way home. And in that restaurant, they met an African couple. Rebecca noticed them, and she said she heard them talking. It was in Swahili, and she knew by looking at them that these are genuine Africans. Hearing them talk and hearing the language, and of course Rebecca says, I'd love to talk with them. But here you are in a restaurant. How's this going to work out? Well, before she got anything done, they had gotten up and went outside. And she noticed them standing outside talking. She says, I'm going to go. I'm going to go talk to them. And she approaches them and starts speaking to them in Swahili. And you can imagine the mouths dropping open. So they communicated and exchanged their information, and they've been back and forth since. So that was in April, just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. We went to the Museum of the Bible where the youth had gone. And we, while we're there, Rebecca says, should I see if it suits that couple to meet us at the same restaurant, which was nearby to where they live? So it worked out, and we got there. The mother and the three children got there, and we were sitting there eating and communicating. And children were saying something about, when's Daddy going to come? He's coming. He'll be here soon. But the thing that was so interesting, here's a two-year-old. She's sitting there looking out through the window. And she spots a vehicle. She says, Daddy's here. Daddy's here. She got so excited. So it was interesting to catch that. The children were all excited. Daddy was there. Now, where am I going with this? Do we, as children of God, get excited to get into God's presence? We get into His Word, like we heard this morning, but have that relationship that is that strong, that real. Is our relationship with God that real? That we say, Daddy, good to be here. Good to have you here. Good to be in your presence. There's a verse in Ephesians that speaks of us being accepted in the Beloved, which I believe would be a picture of this, us being accepted in the family of God. Now, that word beloved is more the agape, if you want to look it up, but the picture there of family. Another picture of this love would be Jesus hanging on the cross. It says, John, will you take care of Mother? This is what I'm talking about. Another example would be Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They had a connection. It seemed like they had a connection, a family connection. They loved to be together. They loved each other. Okay, the next one is pragma. That is an enduring love. A love that just keeps on going. That is an enduring love. You see a couple that's been married 50 years and they still love to hold hands. That's the enduring love. Something that endures, something that matures and grows over time. I think I could picture Abraham and Sarah being that way. They had a relationship. That love was something that was comfortable. It was companionship. So, pragma. Next one we want to look at is self-love. And we say, is that good or not? But there's a certain amount of it, a certain degree of that that is good. We take care of ourselves, just like I talked about earlier. Proper self-esteem. We don't devalue ourselves to such a point that we're worth nothing. But there is a proper self-esteem. Ephesians 5:29 says, no man ever yet hated himself. So there is that proper self-esteem, that proper self-love. We eat, we sleep, we take care of ourselves. So that is one form of love. Now we get to a little more what we find in the Bible. Phileo and agape is the two that we hear them or have the most of in Scripture. Phileo is love for each other because of, instead of an attraction to each other because of attraction to each other, we are attracted because we have a common ground. Phileo, we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. We are friends. We have an affection for each other. Now, the difference between phileo and agape is phileo is more from the head and agape is from the heart. So that's one of the big differences between the two. Another interesting thing is the word phileo is translated, greet one another with a holy kiss. That is phileo. Every time that we have the word, the holy kiss, it is phileo. So there, as a brotherhood, we are expressing our love for each other when we greet each other. Let's turn, we're in John, let's turn to chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he that himself doeth, and he will shew him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. The Father loveth the Son, and this is phileo in this verse. The Father had love for his Son. Turn over to chapter 11. We know what that chapter is. Chapter 11 is the account of Lazarus and his death. Verse 3. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick, which was Lazarus. That is phileo. Whom thou lovest is sick. We know the story. Let's turn over to verse 36. Let's start reading verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And that is phileo. So, the Father practiced it, showed it. Jesus did it as well. Next, I'd like to look at some compound words that have phileo as part of it. Let's turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. Sorry, I want verse 10 of chapter 12. So Romans 12, 10. Saying the wrong thing here. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. The first part there, kindly affectioned, is Philostorgos, which is the combination of phileo and storge, kindly affectioned. It's the only time in the New Testament that this word is used. So, kindly affection one to another. It's that love and connected to family. We are a family. Brotherly love. In honor, kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. Now that brings another one, Philadelphia. We're familiar with that one, city of brotherly love. So, Delphia brings into the picture the family thing, brotherly love. So, kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Maybe that gives a little bit of definition what brotherly love will look like. Preferring one another. To cherish each other as brethren. Fraternal, which means has to do with family. Next one I'd like to look at is 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter 3:8. And this is a similar word, Philadelphos. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. So there we have love as brethren, Philadelphos. We are of the same family, love as brethren. Now, let's just read the next several verses and see if we can figure out what some of those things will be. Be of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye may and you should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good, let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We'll stop there. Now, agape. Agape is the highest form of love. It's a deliberate assent of the will, so it's coming from our hearts. Not just something of the feeling, but it's a decision that we make. God so loved the world. What was the response? That he gave. He gave. Perfect, unconditional, sacrificial, pure. And it is for the other's highest good. Here's an interesting thought. God chose agape, which is unconditional love to all, whosoever will. But he gives phileo to those that draw near to him. So as we draw nigh to him, he draws nigh to us. We have a phileo relationship. Turn to 1 John 4:9. John 4:9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We'll stop reading there. And then in Romans it says, even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So God's love for us, he provided salvation through Christ. Redemption, free salvation. Our sins are forgiven. He has promised us. We confess our sins. He was faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We are made alive through what God has provided for us. Here's one we don't like to think about, and that is, if God loves us, he will chastise us as sons and daughters. And the Psalms talk about God preserving us. Psalm 145. I'm going to turn there just. Psalm 145 and verse 20. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. I didn't realize how many things or condition was that we love him. The Lord preserveth all that love him. 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. So there we have that condition again, love. The same is known of him. God knows or has that relationship with those that love him. What about our love for him? What is our response? What flows from us? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. And it says, and my commandments are not grievous. Maybe it's a decision to love, but how is that response? Not grievous. What is it that flows from our hearts? Thanksgiving, praise for what he has done. Worship. Another familiar verse. All things work together for good. To them who are the called. And let's see. Right now it's slipping my mind. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God. That's. You think about that being in there? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 20. Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. I thought it was interesting in this verse, that thou mayest love, that thou mayest obey, that thou mayest cleave, even as husband and wife cleave to each other. We are to cleave to God. James 1:12 speaks of a crown promised to those that love him, that love his appearing. Okay, let's turn over to 1 John again. 1 John 5. like to go in the direction of our love for each other, love for the brothers, love for us in the congregation, if you want to have it that way. 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. You see the connection there. We are begotten of him. You are begotten of him. So we're on a common ground. And that is, then we have love for each other. Then the next verse says, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So, how's my love for my brother and sister in the congregation? Both of us were begotten of him. So that puts us on a common ground. First John 3, just across the page. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So it's going to be more than just talking about it. There's going to be some action. In deed and in truth. In truth. It's not going to be anything put on. What does it say in Peter? Let's love one another with a pure heart fervently. And it's unfeigned love. Love that's not just on the surface or put on. Something that's springing from the heart. I suppose we can't have a message on love without looking at 1 Corinthians 13. Let's go there. I know it's very familiar, but it's good to think about it, to read it. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 is what we're going to look at. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Now, that was quick to read over it like that. Let's go back over it and look a little closer. Charity suffers long. Charity bears the offenses and the injuries of others. Charity is kind. Charity is mild. Charity doesn't have any envy. Charity vaunteth not itself. Vaunt. No lifting ourselves up. No boasting. Is not puffed up. Speaks of pride. Does not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly. Something that is maybe careless or sloppy or... I'm not sure. Unseemly. Something that don't fit well. Seeketh not her own. Is not focused on itself. Focused on others. Not easily provoked. Not the person with a short fuse. Now there we have the word provoked in a negative sense. I'm provoking you to love, not provoking you. not easily provoked in a bad way. Thinketh no evil, not wishing anything bad on the other person. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. We'd rather speak something good about a person rather than spreading something that's not good or evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Beareth all things. You're going to carry. Love carries some things. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. So, Jude, the 21st verse of Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. So, wrapping it up here, just a few challenges to provoke us to continue. I guess I'm not bringing this as saying we're really lacking. I'm just spurring us on to more. Let's continue in the love of God. 1 Thessalonians 3. This is what I would like to leave with us, to provoke you to love. Verse 12 of 1 Thessalonians 3. And the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. So may we be provoked in a good way to love and to good works. Those that can, let's kneel for prayer. So, our Father in heaven, we come to you at the close of this service. We ask for your direction, your help in our lives as we look at this great subject, this command that we have in your word, that we may live out the life of Jesus here upon this earth in the aspect of love. Help us to love each other with a pure heart fervently. Pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.